Yes. Yes. I'm so enthusiastic. I want to make my yeses more enthusiastic. Yes. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM radio. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant, and this is Now We're Talking. If you're a regular listener, and I imagine that you specifically are, I'm talking to you specifically, you know the show starts at 6 p.m. This is unprecedented. This is show number 49. I've been doing the show for almost 2 years, which is strange to say. And for the first time ever, for whatever reason, I'm starting the show 8 minutes early. Now, maybe it speaks to my enthusiasm to have my guests in the studio today and the conversation we're going to have. That could be part of it. I haven't done the show in a while. It's also informed by the fact that I just realized that somehow the show promo, which maybe you're listening to for the last 15 minutes incessantly on loop for Dunkin' Donuts, I don't know why that's happened, but it was queued up and playing over and over and over and over again. And even just this right now, as I listen to myself having this conversation with you, I think this is such a lovely college radio cliche, isn't it? Talking about loose and liberal start times and missteps technically. Anyway, all of this is by the by, but it's okay because we're starting the show early. Mick McLeod is here. Mick, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you here. I mean, it's cool for you to be here doing the show with me live because you're just embarking now on doing your own podcast. And you're going to record that from your place. You're showing me the setup in your living room.
True, yes.
This
true.
Is different to do it live.
It's cool. It's like dead air in here.
Yeah.
Not dead air. I mean dead sound.
Dead sound. Well, let's test the dead air. Because you and I were talking earlier about how this space, has dead, sort of dead sound. It's isolated. But we were wondering whether it would be an interesting experiment to actually go for dead air. So let's try that. Let's give it a shot.
I'll be thinking about donuts.
Didn't last for very long, did it?
Are we starting now?
We did. That's what we started. I mean, I think that actually perfectly illustrates how improv. We can't do that. We can try. Let's try again. Let's see how uncomfortable it makes us and everybody else. Maybe even these women right here who have just come into the other studio to work on something, no doubt. I heard a little swallow sound.
See, that wasn't me. That was you.
Was it me?
That was you. Yeah.
Interesting. I just assumed it was you. I threw you under the bus instantly. This is just the warm-up for the real show, by the way. We're going to be kicking off the real show at 6 p.m. This is the pregame show to Now We're Talking, where we just kind of have a loose hangout with this week's guests, and we explore absurd concepts like dead air on CITR. You know, out of a curiosity, would this result in a more compelling listenership? Because I was saying to you, if I was flipping through the stations on the radio, and I heard people talking on CITR, I may or may not stay tuned in, but if there was dead air, I'd really want to know what's going on. And I think that I don't know, it's something to think about. Would you ever do anything like that on your podcast, or you think it would be misguided?
I think it's very artistic. I like the concept.
It's very high-minded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's high-minded. Performance art, but like radio performance art.
Yeah.
I like the idea. Maybe workshop it.
Yeah.
And it'd have to be like all or nothing. Like you'd have to go the full 48 minutes or something.
You have to commit to it.
Of just dead air.
Yeah, you couldn't do it loosely. Well, folks, this has been the pregame show for Now We're Talking, where we just kind of loosen up and we swallow up a little bit of airtime, acknowledge the fact that the promo for Dunkin' Donuts was playing incessantly over and over.
Are there any donuts, by the way?
I haven't seen any. I think they're all gone. So should we start the show again? Let's just do
fine.
It again.
No, it's not going.
You like it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Look at you.
I'll get some later.
Well, let's talk about your podcast, because I know that you told me a few years ago that you dabbled.
Yes.
And we talked about that last year. And then I guess basically this year, going back to January, February, you kind of started to put something
sooner,
into
sooner, actually, more plan. Recently, last month, actually, beginning of this month.
Okay,
March.
So it's that fresh, yeah.
Yeah. But we did one in 2011, actually. So that's 6 years ago.
Yeah, well,
now,
six, seven years, yeah.
But back then, it was strange. We were kind of like just kind of sort of trying to figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
Wasn't as much YouTube stuff on there.
Right.
But I was lucky enough to have a friend who had a music studio and who currently does still have a music studio, Blue Light Studios. So shout out to them.
And you recorded it at their studio?
Recorded it there. Now things have changed. Way easier to do stuff from home.
Yeah.
In terms of recording too, and you know, you record music and stuff.
Yeah.
Really easy to get set up in a home studio setting. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing now. We're rebooting it up.
Yeah,
2.0.
And you've done a few episodes already.
So I'm currently producing 3 separate podcasts.
Oh, wow.
One is...
You don't mess around.
Yeah. I kind of got the...
Just dive in.
Podcast bug? Is that a thing?
I think it is. I think it's now officially a thing. You're going to infect other people and then it'll be a epidemic.
Well, once I got the gear, I was like, I can just do as many of these as my free time allows me to, right? So...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have recorded, as of right now, 3 full-length episodes.
Nice.
Two for one of the themes, one for another theme, and then I do my own, which is just sort of a DJ mix kind of music curation thing. So,
right.
3 different ones. It's rolling.
You're fond of music, aren't you? We're talking about fondness of music.
Aren't we all?
No, we're not. That's the point. We're not all fond of music. I mean, depending on how you describe fondness, I mean, I think we all should be.
Yes.
I think we all want to be. And I think some of us are, thinking of themselves right now when they kind of, as I'm speaking this halting tone, I feel like it's betraying the fact that clearly this host of this show has some sort of issue about his latent, absent fondness for music. But yeah, we were talking about that, and I think I'd be curious to know more about that. Like, what's tracing back the history of you, you know, having this passion for this genre of music or music generally?
Mm-hmm.
How did that sort of evolve?
I've always been. That's funny that you say that, because for me, I've always been passionate about music. Like since
as far
I was
as
very,
you
very young. Yeah, I come from a musical family. Everyone in my family plays instruments: guitar, piano. String instruments as well.
So it's always been around.
Always been around. I sort of started getting into music more, sort of being more curious about music, digging into my brother's, you know, CD collections at that time, because this was like the mid-90s, so it was CDs.
Yes.
But I can remember my first tape cassette I got, which was...
Mixtapes.
Mixtapes.
Dubbing. High-speed dubbing.
High-speed dubbing, recording from the radio, absolutely all that stuff.
Yeah.
Such fond memories.
It's funny when you're referring to CDs, like as a thing from a bygone era, for a moment
yeah,
I was like, damn.
Kind of,
that's, you know, you're old when at the time CDs was the cutting edge. And
yeah,
now,
but imagine someone who had A-Track as their sort of primary listening tool.
Yeah, or somebody 60s. Now whose primary listening tool is their phone. And
or
never,
the computer, yeah, absolutely.
The computer.
MP3s. Wow.
Yeah,
my first, it's really interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. My first cassette tape was Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation.
Ooh.
And Bobby Brown, My Prerogative.
Right.
My first CD was, I think, Bjork Post.
Hmm.
Yeah. So kind of a wide spectrum there.
Cool.
80s R&B and then...
Yeah.
The 90s weird.
Did you have a Walkman?
Electronica.
Is that when you were listening to music?
Absolutely.
Walking
the yellow
around?
One. Didn't everyone have the yellow
yeah.
one?
Yeah. Well, everyone deserved one.
Yeah.
I don't
little
know if everybody
grip case
did.
It closed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Indestructible
yeah.
almost.
Yes. So you walk to school every day and listen to music on your Walkman?
Absolutely.
And look at you now, all these years later, doing 3 podcasts, diving into the deep end. So what are the methods going to be for sharing it? How are people going to access these podcasts?
Well, there's a lot of hosting out there. What's that one called?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about all the options,
yeah,
right?
It's PodBud, kind of overwhelming. I think, is what it's called. There's a whole bunch of other ones, Art49.
Mm.
I decided to go with Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout,
yeah,
just because you like the way it sounds, I'm thinking.
It's not easy to say, is it?
Buzzsprout.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Buzzsprout. No, but I like the imagery of it.
Yeah, they're kind of like, you know, WordPress?
Mm-hmm.
So they've been around forever. They're kind of like have a WordPress vibe where everything's really minimal
okay.
and clean.
Clean is
and
good.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
And you can host any number of podcasts on
cool.
their site. So I'm trying it out for now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens, mm-hmm. but gotten some good feedback already. So
cool.
Super easy to set up to. They make it really, really simple. Yeah.
Nice. And yeah. then will you have a website where all of the podcasts are available or separate entities?
Absolutely, yes.
Ooh.
I think so.
Okay.
Baby steps, though, Jeff.
I know, we're getting ahead of ourselves
yeah.
here. I'm just, in my mind, I'm just plotting out your sort of domination
yeah.
of the podcast world.
Well, it's actually
worlds.
Funny, my co-host partner for one of our podcasts called Beats on Repeat, I sent him a link just to show him, like, okay, this is what it's going to look like, it's live, blah, 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 and he immediately goes on Facebook and, like, shares it with everybody on Facebook.
Oh,
and, like, we didn't have any original artwork. It was just, like, a test I guess I didn't communicate that to him that it was actually just a test. So we had, like I had to scramble to get some
You're like
actual,
proofing it, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So I scrambled.
And he's like, hey, everybody, it's up.
Nothing spell checked or anything. Just
and
so,
emotionally,
so
how did that make you feel? Because I feel like, you know, you put a lot of effort into making things just so. I'm wondering, yeah, what was your, how did you find out that it had proliferated on Facebook?
Just on his Facebook feed.
What was your, I want, tell me truthfully, as soon as you saw that, guide me through. Through the emotional response you had to seeing that.
So I saw
it's powerlessness.
It, saw the hacky photo I'd just put up, something I
right,
had in my library.
Right.
And I was like, oh, expletive deleted.
Did you immediately tell him to take it down?
No. I went with it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, like, I mean, we never really had any set sort of execution plans on when we were going to roll it out. But it ended up just, we just rolled it out. So now it's out there.
So you did roll with it. Okay, good. So
we're still waiting on artwork, which is... funny
artwork.
Yeah, so
who's
everything's
be doing
done
that?
Mastering's done, they sound great, episodes are great.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't gotten any like custom logos done or anything yet, so
cool.
So if anybody out there is
Fiverr
getting, that's yeah
get, a,
Fiverr's
get
great.
A child in the third world to do it for you.
Fiverr's
30
fantastic.
Cents have you used that before?
No, it would be like $5.95 probably.
Oh, okay. 30 like cents. The 95 taking on the 95 cents to take it up a notch.
Conversion, yeah,
yeah, something yeah, like that. Yeah. Cool. So that'll make it real as well. And then it'll be on
Buzzsprout.
Just laughing at the fact that I'm reaching for the words of things that I clearly should know.
We'll try to say it fast.
Well, it's the Apple thing. It's what's the iPod form? What's the podcast thing for iTunes, I guess? I don't even
iTunes,
know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess yeah. I'm thinking about the podcast app on my phone, which is what I use. But iTunes, yes.
iTunes. And then the podcast link. But actually BuzzFeed RSSs to iTunes and Stitcher and all the other major podcast hosting sites.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
So what's the schedule going to be for, like what's the frequency going to be of these episodes?
So I'm recording tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Basically doing two different concepts. One is my really good friend Jamie Ma. He has a blog called Track and Food,
mm-hmm.
and it's on Medium. Have you ever heard of Medium?
It's no.
Like it's kind of like Twitter meets blogger meets whatever. It's basically a forum where writers can share their work.
Yeah.
Really cool. You can post stuff. It's kind of like, has a Facebook quality too. You can comment and all that kind of stuff. So he writes a blog called Track and Food, which is about food and culture in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one we're doing. The other one is... called Beats on Repeat with my good friend Tristan Young, and he is a huge music head like me, and that's based on his former music blog called Beats on Repeat. So
yeah.
Those are the two concepts. We're alternating weeks, so recording one a week.
Cool.
Staggered.
So this will be, you'll be busy. You'll be busy doing this.
Yeah, I'm producing the whole shebang. I'm just not mixing and mastering because my ears are completely shot from DJing for 15 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's harder to hear the details?
I hear nothing.
Really? I didn't know this. You didn't tell me that.
Not nothing.
Just from
like,
being
I hear
loud,
you
you've been
right
in so many loud environments that your ability to hear the finer details has been compromised.
Well, I feel like I have some frequencies that just are cut out now that I can't hear, and mostly like in the 4,000 hertz range.
Well, now we need to talk about this era of your life when you were so hardcore as a DJ that you were just pumping out the music and damaging your.
It's
labor
be,
of love.
You got to play it loud, man.
So what was this? What was this era? What are we talking about? Weddings or what was the context for you?
No. I've been a DJ, DJing. Excuse me.
Should have brought you some water. leaving you out to pasture here.
Just a little bit of phlegm. It's good. I DJed house music for a really long time.
Tell me about that. So, I mean, obviously, if right away, I'm obviously projecting onto you my experience of playing music is in weddings, like, apparently.
It's funny you said wedding DJ. Like, you heard the word
yeah,
DJ.
And
like,
as soon as I say, I can imagine
like,
how that
cool
somehow
actually...
comes across as demeaning. But for full disclosure, I play at weddings. So unless I'm seeking to demean myself, that's not the intention. I just, in my mind, maybe that's my only experience to DJs because I'm so, I was going to say closeted. That implies something else entirely. But that also could be true. But I'm so sheltered, as well as being closeted.
That's a better word.
That maybe I have no experience of seeing a DJ except at a wedding. So please educate me as somebody who's obviously has no sophistication and involvement in the world.
Basically started DJing house music back in the late 90s.
Okay.
Played a lot of rave parties or dance parties or raves, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Then gradually,
how did that happen though? How did you find yourself in that situation? Tell me about the first time. What was the first time that you were contracted to play at a rave?
The first major party I played at was at the Plaza of Nations, I think.
Okay, how did it happen?
Just friends with friends. You make mixtapes. Tapes.
Wow.
Back
tapes.
In the day. You make mixtapes, and then you just meet guys that throw parties, and then just kind of get hooked up.
Did you have a DJ moniker? Did you have a name?
I did.
Are you willing to share that right now?
That's really funny you brought that up.
Yeah.
I guess that's, he was bound to come up.
It is,
my original DJ name was Rayda Ruckus.
Rayda Ruckus?
R-A-Y-D-A, R-U-K-U-S.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because it's from a Wu-Tang Clan song.
Oh,
you know, the Wu-Tang Clan.
I've heard
so
of it.
So I was big into the Wu-Tang Clan when I was younger. So there's just, it's
how
just
long
a,
did that
just
moniker last?
Not too long.
Was it
years.
DJ that or just that?
No, it was just Rayda Ruckus.
Okay.
Yeah. And the style of music I played was a bit more like aggressive and funky and kind of banging. And then I graduated from that and moved on to Mickey McLeod, which is my DJ name for a long time. Playing more house and more funky stuff and basically just playing throughout the city, major clubs in the city, Crush, Sugar Refinery, Lucy May Brown's when it was around, just kind of all over the city.
Did you ever know Adam Schell, out of curiosity?
Adam Schell?
Yeah. I just have to ask that question.
S-H-E-L-L?
Yeah, because it's his birthday today. He's a friend of mine.
Oh.
He used to bartend at Lucy May Brown's.
Birthday,
I'm thinking that the timing could have worked out. And I'd just be remiss in that moment not to
Mid
find out if you did.
Sort of like,
yeah,
05,
like 10 years ago, 10-ish
yeah,
years
could,
ago.
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't really too sober when I was DJing.
Right.
So,
until,
so thanks,
you could have been your best friend there and you never knew. So that lasted for as long as it did, and then what caused you to take a pause from that?
For me personally, it was the sort of shift in electronic music at the time.
Oh.
I was playing really funky, kind of like jazzy-influenced house music, and there was a really big push for electro that kind of came in. Electronic music started getting really like kind of more dark and more heavy. Not that it always wasn't, because there's always like Detroit techno and stuff like that, but just in the Vancouver scene. So basically, I got kind of pushed out a little bit because the stuff I was playing wasn't, you know, what people kind of wanted to hear, right? So, and also I was just kind of tired of it, wanted to watch other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I do still DJ weddings.
You
and
do?
I still do DJ functions. I play for, you know, I'll play some after hours for friends and stuff like that.
Really?
But I'm basically retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my ears don't work anymore.
Wow. What was your experience of recognizing that there was some degradation in your hearing?
So
you start to notice it when you were doing
that
work?
Yeah, when I'm in an environment that gets really loud, I'll get this like little like
in your left ear or both?
In my left ear.
Okay.
Actually, no, maybe in both. I don't really know. I should get my hearing tested.
Never have?
No, never have. No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I guess. I mean, I don't know that I have, but we're talking about specific
well, I've known guys who
have.
Are like professional DJs who get the little custom-made
right to protect their ears, right?
So it just mutes everything to it, and all, I think a lot of major DJs use those.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, I should.
I'd be curious.
Put that on my
I
list of things.
I mean, and we've had a lot of conversations, and I've never considered you hard of hearing, so it's not generically a problem.
No, it's just
for you.
With certain for
these
frequencies
details.
And certain levels of volume.
Yeah, last night I was singing, and I had. Had in-ear monitors, but I don't really like using them because I prefer to hear the room. It just makes a big difference when, for me at least, when I'm singing, like I want to hear the room.
More open, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but sometimes I have to have them in for other, it serves other purposes. And what I usually end up doing is popping one, because I get sick and tired of pulling them both out, trying to put them back in.
Yeah.
I'll just leave one in and one out, which is the best solution in the moment, but in the long run I'm thinking that's probably not good for your ears for
well,
one of them
off.
To be you know, as you say, some sound like a isolation there, hear things with clarity, and the other one is the room exploding and having that differentiation between the two.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's an issue.
I don't know. I'll let you know in about 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, if you feel like you're like
I'm always
balance,
having to
balance over time.
Yeah, or always having to rotate my head depending on where you're seated to hear what you're saying.
Would you say speak up there?
Yeah, sorry, let me just rotate my body and my head. Yes, now I understand you with clarity. Yes.
Yeah, but it makes a big difference when you are doing things like mixing.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
Trying to mix.
Getting right
and
into the details. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's certain times where I've tried to mix certain stuff, and there's just a bunch of bottom end or something weird, and like it just doesn't sound good. And then, like, I'll have a studio buddy be like, can you not hear what's happening there? Like,
how humbling.
No, I can't.
How humbling, especially when it's something that you
but
love
But I admit
so
it now. Like, I've come to terms with it. So I do not mix or master anything on my own. I always shovel it off to someone else.
Well, it's interesting you say that because isn't it kind of par for the course anyway when you're working on something, you might get other people to mix and master it for their objectivity.
Fresh ears, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. So we're not
but
losing all, too
there
much.
Are a lot of people who do their own production all the way through. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. And the mixing and
I always found that curious too. When I was recording music and just like thinking about, you know, what is it that would prevent somebody, like what is it to not have that objectivity if you've recorded the music and mixed it and mastered it? What is it that you're losing exactly?
Well, I think it's different depending on the genre. Like if you're mixing a rock band or a rock song, you want those set of ears.
Because you're too lived in it. You've been living in the song. And
well, and also you don't know which direction things are going to go, right? There's so many directions something can go in terms of the production process. But if you're like, say, mixing a house track or like a tech house track, and like you're the one who created it, pretty simplistic in terms of the arrangement and stuff like that and instrumentation. So if you know you have the vision of where it's going to go, it's pretty easy to get it there.
Yeah.
And then all the little studio tricks that you use. So
what the hell is house music? What is that?
House music.
I mean, that's if there's any value in this interview, it's going to be for the person listening who for some reason is like me and not like everybody else, who doesn't really know what anything is and kind of needs to know in order for the conversation to move forward. It's a good chance for you to explain it to somebody who's really... I mean, let me start by explaining what house music is.
What do you think house music is?
So house music is a form of music that has been popular for quite some time now. It originated in the latter part of the 20th century. If you want to get more specific, we'll say like the 80s or something like that. It was a big deal.
79.
Well, that's a pretty good guess.
Very good, close.
Not bad. So
guess.
Far I'm doing pretty good. 79 originates from Chicago. Is that right?
Chicago, that's correct, yeah.
Oh, that is. So I don't know why I know that. Maybe...
Can you name the club that...
No, definitely not. The fact that I could name Chicago is incredible. And
it's a city.
It's a city, but there's a lot of cities. You know, things come from all sorts
that's
of places.
Very true.
So
very
somehow
true.
I knew that. So far I'm generically doing very good. This is where it's going to fall apart.
Okay.
So what it is, beyond historically the fact that it originates from Chicago in 1979... It's pretty much like there's bass and drums and they're doing stuff and people are dancing to it. Mm-hmm. It's in a house. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be in a
it
house,
can be.
Though.
Nope.
And it's rad.
A warehouse is fine.
A warehouse. Okay, right.
And a field is fine.
But I you know, I feel like there's a million different genres of music and I don't really know what any of them mean. So
pretty good.
That's pretty bad actually, isn't it? I mean it's a start. It's enough
pretty
to
terrible.
Fill in the gaps in terms of what it actually is.
Well, I can help you out there
Thank
if
you
want.
Please
obviously
do.
Everyone knows the origination of disco music.
Sure.
Which means a four on the floor beat.
Okay.
Which means a kick drum hits on every fourth beat.
Good. This is good stuff. This is specific.
Right? You're
this
a musician, you know. You know
I mean,
what I'm
it sounds
about.
Familiar. That certainly sounds familiar. It
so
sounds like something I should know for
house
sure.
music was an evolution of that four on the floor disco beat.
Okay.
And there was a very famous club called The Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
The Warehouse.
House. Okay. Now it's starting to make sense.
Where DJs, I can't remember who the DJs actually were, but they basically were taking old disco records.
Okay.
They were taking different samples and acapella records, and they were basically playing them at the same time, basically creating like live remixes, right?
Okay.
And what they would do was they would actually just like turntablistic style, like rewind parts and play them again. So in that sort of creative space, people in the club were kind of like feeling like they were hearing like a whole new remix of the song. So that's kind of where like remix or the remix kind of started, and then also house music. They would just play these like heavy four on the floor beats and then just play acapellas over top. That is, to my understanding, sort of the origins of house music. Obviously it's
sounding like totally likely to me.
Yeah.
So four on the floor means there's four beats in a bar and the kick drum, the kick pedal, the bass.
We'll take an 8-bar beat, right?
Okay, 8 bars.
So you're gonna have four hits basically.
On 2, 4, 6, and 8?
2, 4, 6, and 8.
Okay. And so disco does that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, so that's like the off beat?
Anything off, well, the hi-hat's always coming on the off, right?
Right.
And the clap's always on the 2, right?
Okay, right.
Do you want me to give you a beatbox
sure.
demo?
Sure, definitely.
I'm not going
to
give you a
you don't
beatbox
have to.
Demo.
You don't have to. Interesting. Okay. So what's
the formula, essentially.
Four on the floor. And so what is rock and roll as opposed to disco? Because when I think of disco, I think of it being off or something. And I guess you're saying it's the hat that's off.
Well, think about like any disco song. The bass line rides on the kick, right?
Right.
And it's usually like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Whereas like rock and roll can be a 4-4 time signature for sure. But right. The drums are always like syncopated in and off and in and right. Around the structure of the beat, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like
I've always thought of rock and roll as like break beats.
Hmm.
And like disco as like 4-4 beats.
So already I've learned something really significant here, which is that the origin of house music lays in disco.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way I knew that
absolutely.
Fact.
Well, think of what music was popular in the world before disco.
Yeah.
You know, British Invasion, rock and roll stuff.
Guitar,
jazz
rock
before
stuff.
That.
Okay.
Blues before that, classical, right?
And so what, 79, is this when people are beginning to take two turntables and create their own music?
I was going to say take drugs.
Take drugs? Is that when drugs started? When did drugs become a thing? I've always wanted to know.
They've been around for a long,
longer than
time.
That? Even longer than the 70s? I do want to know about that too, but that's kind of by
we'll
for the moment.
Yeah.
But what is so? What are the origins of people having two turntables and taking existing music and turning it into new music live on the fly?
Well, definitely at the warehouse, and then also in New York.
70s.
There was DJs doing late 70s, like Kool and the Gang and those guys, Sugar Hill Gang. They were doing that stuff. The reason for it is just the advent of technology, right?
Right. So technology allowed for
techniques.
It.
Were made, the turntables.
Yeah.
And when they hit the market, people started doing interesting stuff with them. They were no longer just record players.
Right.
They had a belt drive and you could change the pitch.
To match.
You could play a song slow, you could play them fast, you can play them double time on 45 or on 33. So people just got creative. Really just a matter of time, really.
How did you learn to do that? When did you start experimenting with that?
I learned how to DJ from my cousin, actually, who moved from Winnipeg and came over to live with us. He taught me everything I know. Once you learn the basics of like how to count eight bars and timing and how to figure out if one track's going slower or faster than the other one, it's really pretty easy.
Hmm.
It does take a while to learn because you're basically listening to two audio sources at once, and that really confuses a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Like singing in harmony.
Yeah, exactly. Once you figure that part out, it's just basically mixing tempo. And then obviously there's a creative aspect of it too, knowing when to mix songs in and out. So,
Okay, house music 1979.
Right.
That's where we started.
Okay.
And then where are we moving from there? So I asked you what house music is, and then can we kind of move out from there into electronic music?
Absolutely, yeah.
And like, yeah. And then sort of take me on a journey leading to the music that you're going to be playing on your show.
Well, that's just my personal sort of journey through the world of DJing.
Yeah.
Our show Beats on Repeat more focuses on newer music.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just talk music. We also talk craft beer.
Right.
And we also talk film.
Okay.
Yeah. We're really into sci-fi.
Things that you care about will be discussed.
Yeah.
Sci-fi specifically.
The first two movies we've talked about are Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically is an action film. And then we just did John Carpenter's The Thing, which is a horror movie.
Right.
But a sci-fi horror movie.
Is that unrelated? Like, you mentioned Kurt Russell earlier today and your hair and your beard.
Yes.
Is this incidental to that, or are they somehow related, the fact that you're growing your hair out and you saw that movie?
No, I feel like I want to say it's always been there inside of me. But when I saw his hair and beard,
it locked it in.
It sort of came to fruition.
Confirmed that it had to happen.
Yeah. I mean, how can you just – his – hair and beard in those movies are amazing. The Thing and Escape from New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
that's
like
my
the perfect period for him.
Yeah. My hair is kind of getting there, I think.
Oh, for sure it's there,
It needs some manicuring.
Yeah.
My beard needs a lot of work, but...
You'll take it to the next level, but basically you've got like the... You're going to start sculpting.
I have the bones.
But you've got the slab there to start working
structure.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you, man. That's great.
But we focus on newer music. Mm-hmm. Anything that's sort of new and noteworthy that we like. We try to stay away from like... Major pop artists, obviously, we're more focused on indie, indie electronica, indie rock, indie folk, indie pop, anything that's like kind of cool and funky and that we really like. But it's a really, really wide, eclectic mix of music. So anything from, Janelle Monáe to, a band like Ree or Rye or, just a bunch of really wide mix of music. So
how do you discover new music? That's what I want to know.
How do you discover new music?
I don't. That's why I need to know. It's funny because, you know, seemingly, folks, if you're just tuning in, by the way, let's just break this down for a second. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. Ostensibly, this is a talk show where people come in, we have conversation, maybe talk about some things that they're up to, and it's potentially of interest to the general listening listenership. But really, let's be honest, I'm trying to get to the bottom of some things in my own life, and I'm exploiting this show for my own good, and I brought Mick McLeod in today to explain to me the concept of discovering new music, because I don't know how it works. I'm totally lost. I'm lost at sea, and I'm listening to you describe these artists. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, how does this work?
Do you have an internet connection?
Let me check. I do. I believe that I do.
Okay.
I definitely have that.
That's a start.
That's a big start, actually. If you think about how music, you know, we talked about different mediums of consuming music. That's a big start because it means that the world is at my fingertips.
But also,
if only I knew what to type.
That's the
problem.
The block there, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Access is not the problem.
You could go to maybe see a live show.
Check out a few
opening bands.
Wow.
Might do it.
On spec, not even knowing who they are.
Well, maybe know who one of them is and then maybe be
right. But
delightedly
what if I don't?
Surprised.
Right. Maybe I should just live my whole life this way. I mean, we're talking about discovering music. Maybe just discovering new possibilities in life would occur if I was more willing to just, you know, try things.
Well, do you have an iTunes account? Are you on iTunes?
I think so.
It's a good way. Pretty solid way to find new music. Yeah.
Really, the way that I discover new music is when I'm playing at a wedding, and then there's a song I've never heard of before, and then I have to YouTube it, and then figure out how it goes.
Okay, do you have Shazam?
No.
Shazam's a dope app.
For when something's playing, it tells you what it is? Yeah, I've used that in the past. I used to use that, yeah.
Yeah,
I have used that in the past, yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it stopped.
Yeah, those are pretty much the heavy hitters. But, I mean, there are other websites you can go to for new music.
But for you, I mean, we're talking about my sad version. For you, I'm thinking it probably flows much, much better than this. What does it look like when you come across new artists? Is it because you love this artist and then they end up collaborating with this other guy and you want to see who that is?
That's a little too... I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it's just something I hear or something I get recommended to by someone.
Yeah.
And you just hear it and you fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And then you can't stop listening to the song for like 3-4 days.
Yeah. It's nice to fall in love, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like there's a song...
I missed that.
Our first episode, we featured this guy from Toronto named Mormor.
Mormor.
And he has his track. He doesn't have an album yet. He just has a track.
Hmm.
And it's called Heaven's Only Wishful.
Mm-hmm.
And like, man, I've been listening to that track for weeks and weeks and weeks. Amazing, amazing.
Over
Can't
and over.
Get enough of it.
Because of how it makes you feel?
What causes
you to do it like obsessively almost, you know?
I guess it would probably have to be a combination of melody, structure, and drums and bass, I guess. It's tough. I don't really know. I have such a broad, eclectic mix of music that I really don't know. Like, I could be listening to Claude Debussy one day and then something like Mormor the next day. So it gets me, you know, if I feel a connection to the track, whether it be in the lyrical content or whatever, I don't know. Tough to describe or explain, really.
Yeah, because it's kind of like a robot. It's kind of like I'm a robot alien who's just arrived on Earth asking questions I've never been asked before, because the answers to these questions are self-evident to human beings. It's like, I don't know why. I listen to it because of the mood I'm in. It makes me... I don't know.
That's really interesting.
Stop asking me, robot alien. What's wrong with you? I'm kind of like allowing myself, out of consternation and befuddlement, to just allow myself to just really move into this robot alien setting. Because if I'm honest... I don't know. I am intrigued and baffled by all this. For me, I have had the human experience of enjoying the way that a song sounds sufficiently that I will choose to listen to it many, many, many times over and over, either in sequence or, like you say, over a period of a week or a month or something like that. And that feeling is such a great, great... You doing okay over there?
Good.
It's making sure you're not having some sort
stretching.
Of a medical emergency
I'm
or something.
I'm listening to you.
I mean... I don't want to give the impression that Mick was on the floor or anything, but I like to pay attention. Sometimes I get very verbose and I start going into a monologue, and I don't want anybody to fall asleep or have a heart attack or an aneurysm or something. Anyway, what am I saying? That experience is so awesome. You and I have both had that experience.
Yes.
So we are both humans that understand each other on this level. I think for me, my lament is that I scarcely have that experience. It's been a long time since I've had that experience, and I can't figure out how to get back into it.
Can you remember the last song you heard where you were just like, holy crap, this is amazing, and it just like shakes something loose inside of you, you know?
Well, I was preparing the thong song for this wedding last night, so I guess that is the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. No, that does actually fall into that category, actually. Let me think. Oh, God. See, yeah, nothing really quickly comes to mind. Huh. I don't know.
That concerns me, Jeff.
It does. It concerns me, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really an intervention that I'm staging for myself with you as the interventionist. I mean, I hope you don't feel manipulated, but I think
I'm happy to help.
What's happening here. Yeah, I'm concerned about it too. Regardless of the fact that I'm a musician, if I wasn't a musician, I think it would occur to me, I see all these other people enjoying this aspect of consciousness, and maybe I'm missing out on this. And when you add to it that I'm a musician trying to understand what things I might want to do with my life, and maybe one of those things could be music, then it's even more perplexing, because it's like, maybe it would improve my situation in terms of creating music. To consume music.
It could.
Can you imagine being a person that's trying to create things and you've never actually, you know, you don't really consume the things? It's a bit odd.
Well,
it's
you
a bit eccentric.
You have a list of favorite songs that I think you even did an episode on on this show, right?
That's true.
So
but
those
a year
songs
ago.
Songs that have a close connection
that's
with
true.
That you love.
A year ago, I did an episode where I said songs that made me feel something or something like that. Let me see what it was. There's the robot again.
Let me see what it was.
I'm just looking it up right now. But yeah, maybe that was kind of me similarly trying to get to the bottom of this year ago.
One of the songs that I really love was on that list, which is Ahead by a Century.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see here the 80s movie nostalgia song. 80s movie song nostalgia episode. That was probably later. Episode?
Wow.
Maybe that was it. Jeff and Keith talk about specific songs and artists that have inspired them over the years.
No, it was a solo one.
Oh,
you did
solo
without
one.
Keith, yeah.
No Keith. Jeff's favorite songs.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you listened to that episode, and that actually gave you that's a good example of me specifically talking about things that have made me feel something.
Yeah. Tap into that, Jeff.
Right. Jeff is alone in the studio to play some of his favorite songs that have inspired his own songwriting. Yeah.
There you go.
Ahead by a Century. Generally all very much like popular songs though. Nothing. There's a couple of things that are obscure in the sense that they're Canadian.
Absolutely.
But obviously Beatles, Beach Boys, Weezer, Neil Young. This is like huge
entities. There's nothing
entities.
Obscure on there. I noticed that right away.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No attempt to do that. I mean, you could say that Danny Michelle, I would argue, is somewhat obscure. I don't think a lot of people know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah. Okay, is this interview getting sidetracked by my own needs, my own neuroses and worries about life? I hope not.
It is.
But it is good.
That's
to
okay.
It is good to be present and be truthful about what's going on in one's mind and sharing it rather than not doing so.
So you can't name me one song that you've heard in the last 2 months where you've been like, that's a killer song.
This is where that dead air thing is going to come in handy. This is where that... desire for
I'm
dead
concerned.
Air is going to pay off.
If you can't name it in 5 seconds, then...
Yeah. Then I'm fired. Lose the gig. Oh, I can't. I can't do it.
I could probably name
I want
you
to
like
do it.
10 songs I've heard in the last
I know.
2 months that are amazing.
I know. We were hanging out last week and we were talking about experiences in the past with having used dating apps.
Oh.
And you said, well, one thing one criteria I have if I have the experience of chatting with somebody is to say, hey, what are some movies you've seen that you've liked recently or bands or songs or whatever? And as you said that to me, I'm like, well, thank God that I'm not a woman trying to endear myself to this man, because I would be off the list of candidates immediately.
You would have been ghosted.
I would have been ghosted more than anybody else you've ever – like I would have been worse – all you know, any other vacuous women that you might have encountered briefly that were fell by the wayside, I would have fallen by the wayside even faster than they did.
Probably.
Because at least they would have come up with something you might not have liked.
Yeah. That's even worse, though.
Yeah. Yeah, at least I'm being honest, right? At least I'm being honest about my...
We're not on those anymore, are we?
What's
that? I know I'm not.
No, we're not.
Okay.
I don't know how I phrased it. I meant to suggest, which is the truth, that
good
we have historically
though.
Done that.
Yeah.
And we were having a conversation last week where I said that I didn't last very long because I just, it wasn't really.
It's weird.
I think what I said to you is I don't like the idea of, I don't really use social networking generally, but I just don't like the idea of doing those things in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Like just, it's a thing on your phone and that's how you live. I just find it kind of perverse.
Yeah. And yeah. It's addicting.
Addicting.
For the wrong reasons.
Yeah. 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 We're covering all the important points here today on Now We're Talking. You're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM. This is live radio. When Mick does his shows, he's got three shows that he's developing podcasts right now. It will not be live. It will be live to tape, and then you'll cut it, right?
Edited, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll let the tape run, and then you'll cut it down to a shorter format.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Remove. I mean, you know, you make a good case, because when I think about this show and this episode so far, I can think of a lot of great opportunities for me to delete things that I've said. You know, not quite all gold, not quite all, you know, a little bit of filler here and there. But yeah, that's a different approach. And so what is it? I think there's something to be said for that. What does it feel like to come in and do it live? Does it kind of confirm for you? Yeah, I think it's better to.
It's strange.
Cut it. Yeah.
Yeah, really strange. Yeah. I'm very nervous.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
can
think
tell?
That. No, I don't think that shows at all. It's interesting. Good. It's kind of like hearing the sound of your own voice on a voicemail or something. It always kind of sounds strange. People kind of, yeah, it's like you feel exposed maybe a little bit in theory.
Well, we started doing them even from the first episode we recorded.
Yeah.
To the third. I felt probably 300 times more comfortable.
That's a good sign.
But then again, I was in my studio and my environment comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like an actual professional studio. There's a window open.
Somebody just walked by.
Your voice is so deep.
It is deep, isn't it?
Those ladies came in. They're gone now. But
they're gone. Yeah, they flipped the light on. They did something.
Nice. That light was, yeah.
It made me wonder what they're doing for 15 minutes. You know, I thought they'd be here the whole time working on something, but it makes me think that they're doing something nefarious or possibly illegal the way they scooted
they
out of
legit.
Here.
No, they seem legit.
I wonder if my voice is low or if it's just me being this close to the microphone.
You know what's interesting is when you play, I notice you use a capo.
Right.
You play high up, but your voice is so deep.
When I'm singing, it's deep. Do you think so?
No, not when you're singing. Oh. Just you seem you have a wide range.
Oh, right. When I'm speaking, would you say my voice is lower, and when I'm singing, it's higher?
Singing, you sing higher, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you still use a capo. I feel like you don't need to use a capo.
The capo is never, I never use it because I'm wanting to sing specifically. It's usually there's other factors.
Just
like I'm trying to think of examples.
Stuff.
It's never the case that I'm like, oh, it would sound so much sweeter if it was higher. It's usually, it's sometimes it's guitar stuff that's going on.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it isn't. I don't know. Now you got me thinking.
Yeah, I just
kind
noticed
of tend to, it's funny because like I'm capable of singing low.
That's my point.
Every once in a while, which is, I'll do like Ring of Fire or something by Johnny Cash, just as like a novelty thing.
I'm so, when you do that song, I'm so shocked how low you get. And I'm like, whoa.
Right. It's almost just like a novelty, right? It's almost just to remind myself or people that I can do that, and actually it's quite lived in to sing down there and live there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just kind of, yeah, it's interesting. I never really think too hard about.
For me, I have a higher voice, and when I play guitar at home, I have to have the capo because I can't sing.
Because your voice wants to sing
of songs.
Higher. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so your singing voice is higher as well.
I sing like Tom York, kind of falsetto.
Okay.
Dreamy falsetto.
Dreamy. Ooh,
totally.
I like that. I like that endorsement of your voice.
It's just high. It's just high.
Yeah. Yeah. But here on the show, I put my mouth right next to the microphone.
You do.
And it's very
busy. I think the
trick
I don't know if I get closer. It's not going to help.
A little bit, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have headphones on. So.
I think it's good that you're not wearing headphones. Anytime I've ever had a guest in here, for the most part anyways, I put headphones on them. But I don't think it's necessary.
It's not necessary at all.
No,
I don't think.
No.
Why would I want to hear my own voice talking?
If anything, it's going to make you more self-conscious, right? It's going to make somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience coming in and doing radio
probably
put these on, listen to everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. How is that going to put them at ease? Why would that be more likely to put them at ease versus me saying, oh, yeah, just I've got headphones to monitor what's going on. Just be yourself. It's fine.
Yeah.
Wow, it only took me 49 episodes to realize that. That's why we got to keep waking up every day, folks, and keep trying life. Keep learning so we can discover new things.
Are you thinking about donuts too, like me?
I am a little bit, and I think it was because of that show promo playing over and over
so
again.
Strange.
I feel like we should have brought donuts. If I'd known that was going to play incessantly, I would have brought some donuts.
Yeah, Cardam's has good donuts on Main Street, the vegan one.
Oh, really?
Vegan donuts, yeah.
Vegan donuts. I never tried that. There's a plug.
Just the same as regular donuts, just no animal stuff.
We should get a free donut for mentioning their
establishment. Why am I plugging?
Establishment. Well, because we want a free donut. That's free. Why you're doing it. I'm down.
I should be plugging Brass Neck instead or a brewery.
Let's plug a whole bunch of things. Plug away. That's what the show is going to become now. You coming in, plugging things, and us consuming them.
Well, we accidentally plug a few things on the podcast.
You do.
Inadvertently.
You do. The craft Maybe. Beer you're talking about, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we talk craft beer for the first 10 minutes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
We each bring a beer, unbeknownst to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we unveil, talk about the beers, then drink them.
This sounds like the show sounds very, like well lived in. This is great. Like I'm really
it's
optimistic
like, yeah, it's like a, about what I you're doing. I kind of think of it as like a variety podcast,
yeah.
Which is strange because it does have a sort of a wider spectrum of content.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty interesting drinking beer and then talking about stuff.
Yeah, especially if you're drinking enough of it. I think we should just
extra dynamic.
I like the sounds of your show better. I think we should absorb my show in. I'll just do like a segment, you know what I mean, like, because this show is just so wandering and long. What the hell is this show? Nobody even knows anymore. Let's just take the best.
No one's listening either.
Nobody's listening, exactly. So there's nothing to lose, everything to gain, except for possibly from your standpoint, for absorb me into your show. Give me like a 3-minute spot. And
we're gonna have you as a full-time guest.
A full-time guest
for an episode, not full-time.
No, you
sorry,
said
I full-time.
Nope, you misspoke.
Nah,
and
retracted.
Now we've got to live with it. You got too enthusiastic.
Oh, is this being recorded?
It will be recorded for posterity and for legal purposes. Yes, no, that's a verbal contract.
We will have you as a guest. So on one of the episodes for sure.
For the extent of an episode, in the context of an episode, will be a full-time guest of that episode.
Of that episode,
which means
absolutely.
The whole time.
Yes,
I'll be there.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So not one of these part-time guests coming in for one segment.
Not like one we like phoned in to get a little segment. No, it'd be like in studio.
Okay.
Real time.
Where you guys dissect my brain and my heart and try to understand what the hell's wrong with me.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a challenge in and of itself is having a third person, right?
Right.
Because right now it's just me and my buddy Tristan, and we have a really good dynamic, and it's going well.
Yeah. Would I have to sit on his lap or something weird like that, or?
No, we sit across from each other.
But if I'm there, like you're saying, there's got two,
oh,
there's
no,
two
we'll
mics
get
set up.
A spot for you to sit.
Or would he? Would he sit on my lap? Let him know I'd be more comfortable with him sitting on my lap. How much does he weigh?
Anyway, he's skinny guy actually.
Yeah. So let's put him on my lap.
He's 140 soaking wet.
Okay. Why would he be wet though?
But
I mean,
he's bony, so I don't know how that would really work for you.
Well, dry him off. I don't know about this soaking wet thing. Let's make sure that he's dry because we don't want to get any moisture on the equipment, and he can sit on my lap, and then we won't need to set up a third microphone. And it'll kind of give us a cool convention, this whole lap sitting
thing.
Interesting. Yeah.
Would we video cast that as well?
We could. And I'm just thinking
it
comes.
Leave it up to the imagination of the listener.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. I'm just coming back to thinking about earlier that when I was talking about being sheltered and closeted, and it feels like this is all coming fully together right now. Yeah, I don't know. I think we'd have to just beta test it and see what happens. Maybe we should try it off the air one time.
Okay.
And see where that takes us.
Or we can just get another seat and a microphone for you.
Yeah, it's probably better. It's probably better.
Either way.
It'd probably make him
I'm open
more
to
comfortable.
Both, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll bring the extra microphone, the extra chair.
I actually need to get a new mic, actually.
And you, okay, perfect.
Yeah, extra one.
So that'd be an opportunity to try it out.
Yeah. When that happens, though, it's going to be strange. It's going to be another adjustment period, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be fine, though.
Yes. Yeah, you were looking at the microphones when you came
I can
in
edit.
Here today. You can edit. You can do that for sure. You were looking at the microphones here. How is the equipment here?
They're nice.
It's all right?
It's nice.
Is it?
It's good.
Oh, that's good. Stuff. They got the good stuff. You look at the speakers before.
Out,
Yeah. Shelled out $5 at a time from all these students here at UBC.
Ooh.
Speaking about unbeknownst, you use the word unbeknownst to them.
Taxation.
They all chip in unknowingly and pay for these microphones.
Yeah. Is that how it works?
That's part of it. There's part of it. Part of it, there's an annual fund drive here at CITR to raise money. And there's also student fees. And I'm not sure what the other forms of funding are. But the reason I know about, I think it's like $5 that every student pays is because they have the option, if they want, to come in and seek a refund. To
really?
Say, actually, I don't care about this, so give me my $5. Huh, but is it just a small amount of money? That it's just funny to think about them coming in here, like having to find
the
right person, fill out the paperwork, have a check issued. It's just such a. It's kind of like an FU to college to come down and be like, give me my $5.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentage of students
That do that?
That have done that.
Low. Very low.
Very low,
but
yeah.
Not because they wouldn't, just because they don't
it's
know it exists.
Yeah. Well,
no, even
or
though
they
we're here.
No one's listening.
Nobody knows. But now I'm advertising that fact. That's a good strategy for me as a programmer at CITR. Mention this fact in case anybody's listening, so they know they have the option as a UBC student to be reimbursed that $5. It might even be $6. I'm saying $5. For all I know, it's like $6.12 or something. So that's nothing to scoff at.
Not at all.
So let's talk more about, I don't know, your show. Your show's coming up. I mean, what do we want to say? What's the debut dates for these?
So
does that remain to be seen?
Beats on Repeat is live as of us sitting in these chairs right now.
That's happening.
You can go to beatsonrepeat.buzzsprout.com.
Yes. Okay.
And check out episode one. Episode two is finalized and we'll be going live probably in the next couple of days. And then we're going to keep rolling from there. Tracking Food, probably going live later on this week as well, and that will be Track on Food, Track and Food.
It's all happening now.
Buzzsprout.
Okay.
.com. We're gonna see how Buzzsprout works out. It's pretty good so far.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And the third one we're doing is sort of my own little sort of artistic pet project. It's called the Holographic Forest.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you mentioned this to me.
It's a curation of eclectic and experimental and abstract stuff, a lot of electronic stuff, a lot of sound design, even some jazz and classical music in there, just a really like eclectic mix. And what's going to be happening with that one is I'm going to be requesting certain individuals to curate episodes, so it's going to be sort of a revolving door of different people who I really respect their musical diversity.
Cool.
Doing episodes, or we'll do combination episodes. Or, so that one has a really open-ended sort of philosophy to it.
Nice. Yeah. Does it feel good to have all these projects on the go and have all
this? Yeah, it's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty...
That's what's most interesting to me, I think, overall, is just I've known you for a few months and just seeing this explosion of like commitment to this specific thing.
Yeah, and I'm also writing an album at the same time, actually.
Wow.
Which is pretty intense, too. But I guess I kind of always... It was always there on the sort of underneath the surface to revisit.
Yeah.
And it kind of just all sort of happened.
Well, so you say that it just kind of happened, but I'm always curious, how does it move from how does a thing move from being just below the surface to suddenly above the surface? Speaking of sprouting.
It's kind of like,
why is it sprouting?
It's kind of like sprouting.
Nice. Sprouting.
I got that.
Thank you.
Thank
God somebody did.
You know, you wake up and you're like, I should really do that. And then next day, you don't do it. You're like, I should really do that. And then one day you just wake up and you're like, you analyze it. You're like, wow, I have the resources to do this.
Is that what happened? You woke up one day and just started analyzing?
Yeah.
But why that day? That's the important thing. This is the thing that we've got to understand.
Well, I'm sure it was in a combination of researching pod hosting sites, researching microphones, researching music, all these sort of things.
You've been doing those things and you woke up one day and you thought, wait a minute, I'm ready. The reason I'm asking this question is I feel like there's a lot of things that we all want to do, and it's interesting when people actually do things, because people can live their whole lives talking about doing things and they don't, and it causes them extraordinary pain, right? And so it's if you look at why people do things, it's usually something's happened. There's been some switch. It can just be exhaustion. It can just be sheer exhaustion with not doing the thing. I gotta do this thing, and off you go.
Or burnout from
something else, responding to something else.
Yeah.
But usually, there's something that occurs, or things that occur, like you're saying in combination, that cause somebody to wake up that day and say, "Today is the day I'm gonna make that phone call or do that thing."
Uh-huh.
But it's been a slow burn, you're saying, and then it's just kind
of
sprouted.
Yeah, slow burn, sprouted, but, you know, again, when I say it's been under the surface, something that's in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Usually daily. And then, things just come together.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah,
I'm glad
it's interesting.
You know, I'm inspired by it, and I appreciate it.
I wish I could give you a better answer.
No, I mean, I'm just glad for your sake that that's occurring. I mean, I'm always interested to, you know, when you told me about it, that's why I wanted to have you come in. I enjoy being exposed to, you know, people taking that plunge, not knowing where it's going to lead, because I think it opens up interesting possibilities in people's lives to live that way. You know,
Absolutely.
I've had experience times in my life when that's flowed and times when it hasn't. But I mean, I know from experience that it's a good thing to pull on that thread, You know?
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah. You're pulling on multiple, and it's multiple threads. We're talking about at least four threads.
Well, that's the thing is when I originally was just going to do the one podcast.
Yeah.
And then once I sort of got my feet wet and executed it and realized actually how fun it was to edit, that's like my thing. Like, I realized just through doing it, like, I love editing. Getting the final product together.
Yeah, and, like, that editing is satisfying.
Is,
yeah.
Like, for me, like, I almost, after we record, I almost can't wait to get started on editing.
Yeah, it's like painting with sound.
But the, absolutely. But the mundane sort of mixing and mastering stuff like that, really, I have no interest in.
Yeah.
So once I figured that out, I realized that I can knock one out pretty easily, so why not get another one going? And my good friend Jamie, we also have a really good rapport and, you know, stimulating conversations and stuff like that. So I thought, hey, I ran it by him, and we got started on it, like, right away. And when that one went well, I was like, hey, I can do my own, like, little
It's
music
flowing.
One.
Yeah, right. So it's like when something gets dislodged and it starts to flow, you start to see all the possibilities and feel encouraged to do that.
I'm actually thinking of a fourth one, actually.
Jesus, you're going to be an empire.
Yeah, podcast empire. I'll be the ringer of Vancouver.
Yes.
The ringer is a podcast empire in the States.
Oh, right.
Many sports and
pop Bill
culture.
Simmons, you telling me
Bill
about
Simmons,
that?
Yeah, yeah,
Bill Simmons,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah. You're going
to
be the ringer.
You know, full disclosure, you know, I do listen to all those, and that probably was subconsciously or consciously a thought process too. But, I mean, it's just good to get stuff out and be creative, like you said.
Well, I certainly can. I mean, for me, if I feel like I've been stuck, I'm not saying that you were stuck, but I'm thinking for me, feeling stuck creatively or something, and then it starts to happen. It's like I want to get while the getting's good, you know. Like, I'm feeling it, I want to get on with it. It's such a relief.
No, I was stuck actually. I was in a creative rut. Absolutely.
You were.
Yeah, yeah. I moved places, and I had all this gear, and I sold everything. Like, I sold my Juno 106. I sold some outboard compressors I had. I literally sold all of my stuff.
Yeah.
And started fresh and bought, like, a couple little pieces here.
You cleaned out your closet.
Cleaned out my closet. Got some new, smaller, like, interesting electronic instruments. One specifically by Teenage Engineering called the OP-1, which is an all-in-one sampler, synth, drum machine, recorder. Really, really cool, intuitive piece of machinery, like, really awesome. And that kind of springboarded me writing music again, and then maybe that kind of springboarded podcasting too. But
because you created,
I was in a rut for a while.
Absolutely. You created a clean slate in response to this rut and kind of were deliberate in adding these elements experiencing them in a deliberate way, and it kind of got you back moving in the right direction.
Definitely.
How long did it take for that process to play out from feeling completely stuck to where we are now?
Right.
Is that years or months? Or?
No. Months. I probably saw an ad for the OP-1 and I was like, because I have a background in audio engineering and, like, everything kind of just clicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that.
Hmm.
And I can have just, like, this little piece of gear.
Right.
And I have my setup here, and, like, I can it just, like, the creative possibilities kind
of
flooded my mind.
It's good to have the right tools.
Maybe two months turnaround.
Okay.
From when I sold my last piece of heavy studio gear.
Okay.
You can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes.
I can attest to that. He's doing copious amounts of air quoting, about eight of them.
Cool. It actually speaks to the times we live in, where someone who has ideas can get them out in their home with their home studio.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about renting studio time and saving up money to buy this, you know, $8,000 analog synthesizer because it sounds the best.
Like, yeah.
People can just make music on the computer or do whatever they want on the computer and be creative, and it's awesome.
So finding the right gear and the right tools can really embolden you to get on with some creative endeavors.
Good for me, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's good. So once again, for people that want to check out these podcasts, what were some of the links? Was it Beansprout?
Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout.
But I can see how you'd make that
Podbean. We're talking about how there's a million of these. It's just like you take them and throw them together.
Yeah,
but
Buzzsprout,
if somebody's listening and wants to be reminded of what's the most efficient way for them to get in on the Mick McLeod
Beats on train. Repeat.
Beats on repeat.
.buzzsprout.com.
Okay. That's
you
up
can
now.
Check out Track and Food.
Track and Food.
.buzzsprout.com.
Okay.
You can also check out my buddy Jamie Ma's blog on Medium called Track and Food.
Cool.
And there'll be episodes up, and there'll be episodes coming up every week or two.
Nice. I'm excited for you, man. Hopefully. I mean, I think part of it, actually, I realize I see you more or less on a weekly basis, and
yes,
it kind of creates an interesting time warp.
Yeah.
Because in a way, you know, time really flies when you're just seeing somebody on that schedule. And it's like, I think I've seen this play out. It feels like in a matter of, it just kind of was
quickly.
Quicker. Yeah. It really, really quickly, just because every time I see you, it's just, it's kind of flying along.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't really, I actually was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, wow, I've actually done like three episodes.
And yeah.
Like, when I go back and think about it, I wasn't really thinking about doing it.
Right.
I was just kind of like doing it.
Yeah, well, that was my observation, asking you about it. Yeah.
I'm still in the mind frame of like, it's not like I'm thinking about, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. It's like I'm just actually going out and doing it and like, you know, doing the things necessary to make everything happen like in sort of the quickest manner possible, I guess.
Yeah.
With still being leaving time for rest and being creative and rethinking stuff and, you know, changing this and that. But really, it's just been sort of like a no-brainer kind of like rush of like just doing things.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. You're in the flow. Yeah. I got to borrow from your example. I got to borrow from your example. You're in the zone.
NBA.
Zone, the element, the flow, any word that we can come up with to describe. If, yeah, and you play basketball, right? So you understand that. Exactly.
Yes.
Mick, thanks for coming and being live on the air.
My pleasure.
Appreciate having you in. Okay, man.